We got a reprieve. They knew Glenn Evans was here, so they didn't dare make noise during battle time. Yesterday we talked about Ecclesiastes 8:1, a man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and we talked about what that meant. Let's go to John 12. Just before Jesus was crucified, he had this exchange in John 12, verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. These were obviously either they were Jewish converts, that they were there to worship at the feast of Passover. Does anybody remember where Luke came from? He was a Jewish, but he was Greek, but he was from Alexandria, right? Alexandria in Egypt. Does everybody remember that? Anybody know that? Anyway, and I think this is talking about Luke here. There were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. And the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. And Philip cometh and telleth Andrew. And again Andrew and Philip telleth Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Again, Jesus does this in this thing where people ask him a question, and he talks about something that has nothing to do with what, and it goes on and on and on, because he's talking about something that's far greater than... He answers their question, but they don't understand it. Do you understand? And let's see if we can make sense out of this. The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat or a kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Now, that never changes. You can never... As a disciple, you never can stop hating your life, your identity. And again, your life is wrapped up in your identity. And so the real problem in life is that somehow we've been blinded so that we don't know what we are. And the entire world system is based on enhancing that identity so that you don't know who you are. So if I know that I'm the chief of sinners, if I know that I'm the Antichrist or the instead of Christ, then it's not a big deal for me to hate my life. I mean, it's as natural as... But if I'm still on the pathway to enhance and better and get and learn and become And then I'm always connected with this life that Jesus said that if you don't hate it, you won't have eternal life. Do you see this conundrum? Now, it's obvious to me that, again, he's answering these Greeks that said we would see Jesus. And he's saying to them, you don't really want to do that. So in effect, he's again mocking them. He's mocking their sincerity. Now, that's not what we're going to talk about. But he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there also my servant, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Now, this is at the greatest possible test or affliction that the human mind can imagine of what was about to happen to Christ. And he said, for this hour, he as Son of Man, he said, he was honest, my soul is troubled. He spoke it. As who he was internally, as Son of God, he said, no, for this hour came I into the world. Now, if that's true for the greatest possible test that can be, I want you to apply that to all of the little things you don't like. Can you see the connection? If you're troubled about something, Father, deliver me from this hour. No, for this hour came I unto the world. And because that hour is always this mystery of the eternal now, this now. And so it never ceases, because, and we will never know that by our senses, because we have been blinded. All the human race is blinded because of the curse. Right. And so the idea then, when we try to get out of it, we don't endure chastening as legitimate children. We become the illegitimate child because we're getting out of it. This is really, really, really all of the this is what affects your life on a second by second basis.
And the reason that it's presented this way is the idea that Greeks coming to him are coming because they're seeking wisdom. And this is the wisdom.
Right. The Greeks seek, remember? The Jews seek a sign, and the Greeks and Jews are a type. The Greeks seek a sign. I mean, the Greeks seek wisdom, the Jews seek a sign. Both of them miss it.
Let's think about a legitimate, illegitimate child. A legitimate child knows that's his father and endures chastening.
Right, because they don't see it as condemnation.
Right, but an illegitimate child said, ah, that's not my father.
Right. Well, he doesn't even know it. This is the knowing of it is the issue. The knowing that suffering is not strange is the fundamental issue. Because suffering, that's why if you don't suffer with him, you don't reign with him. And we think of that as some philosophical concept. No, it's a second by second.
So this is the wisdom you really don't want.
Well, of course, that's what I've said. It's what we talked about. And this is, remember, the predicate of this, because a man's wisdom maketh his face to shine. And we talked about that shining is what happened when Moses went to the mountain or eternity with, and when Jesus was transfigured. And everybody, now watch. Father, glorify thy name in verse 28. Now glorify always has to do with this end result. I mean, it's like we don't give God the glory, as I've said so often, oh, that isn't that big of us. We just give you the glory for all this crap I'm doing. No, the glory of God is exclusive. It's connected with this mystery that was in the temple. You remember that was in the Holy of Holies. The same thing is said of when the temple had, when the Holy of Holies actually contained the Ark of the Covenant and the and the manna and the rod and all that. When the high priest went in, he only could enter that once a year on the Day of Atonement. But it is said of that high priest the same thing. When he came out of that Holy of Holies on that one day, his face shone so they couldn't bear to look on him. So this... let me see if I can connect it all here. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I both glorified it and will glorify it again. In other words, he never left, the real him never left the glory. You understand? That's why the real you never leaves the mercy seat. And you're to be transfigured by the renewing of your mind. Renewing is anakinesis in the Greek. And it means a gradual conforming, and gradual is only because of our rebellion, a gradual conforming to that which was and is and will be. I hope you'll hear me. Then came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Now this voice from heaven in the Hebrew is called the Bath Kol, and it's what everybody thought they wanted and everybody was scared to death of. The idea that somebody would, Jesus and I were talking and he told me to go, I heard this last night. God and I were having this conversation, he told me to go to the bank and get six $50 bills. What?
Pick a card, any card.
Yeah. And then go do this, and then go that. And it's just, it's like insanity. And yet people are believing it. They don't understand the fear of God, as we've talked about so often. You shouldn't be issued, you know, nice, go to your Sunday best and sit in church pews that are padded and real comfortable. You should be issued crash helmets. Who's that woman that said that in that book? You remember?
Flannery O'Connor.
No. Anyway, if he arose, we have no idea what this means. All right. This was the third time that the voice of God was heard audibly by Christ. Now, think of it. And the people, therefore, that stood by and heard said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. And Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Where was he cast out? He was cast out into the earth. So if you believe Revelation, the whole world lieth in deception. And to anybody who dwells on the earth, it's just everything, nothing. Everything. Just look at the news. My God, what's going on? And it never stops going on. You know, now this whole thing in the Sudan has just exploded again. And it's really, they don't talk about it in the major news, but it's really Christians against Muslims. And they're killing everybody. Oh, but God loves you. Oh, you've trivialized the love of God into a meaningless sop to, I don't know what it is. Well, no, it's not that simple. It's just, anyway. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. It's not going to, we're in this great battle. It's over. The battle is over. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. And the people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ, or that Messiah, abideth forever. How sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? In other words, it's always that the Son of Man, the age of Messiah, is always. And it's always been. It is always. The age of Messiah has always been. Abel saw the age of Messiah. Abraham saw the age of Messiah. Can you hear me? That's why we must redeem the time, for the days are evil. We redeem the time by reckoning that we are already in the days of Messiah. It's already happened. Christ was slain from before the foundation of the world. But we are deceived, and it'll never stop. We are deceived by our own minds, and it will always be because of the curse. Because we always want to be in the position of judging for ourselves good and evil, right and wrong. And your mind can only think in terms of cause and effect. It can't think in terms of anything else. John, are you here? You look like you went for a vacation there for a minute. All right, this... You always pay attention when David, just the last words of David before he died, you know, the last words of Paul before he died, now this is the last words of Jesus. Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light. And remember, that's what we're talking about, this mystery light. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be children of the light. Now, remember, I think he said it just before this or just after this, but he said, the night is coming and no man can work. Well, the night has come. What? Yeah. You look like you just saw something for the first time.
I did a minute ago, but I forgot it. It's in there. It's good. So you get to hear it again for the first time.
I saw an ad for a DVD that's coming up called The 50th Date, 50th First Date or something like that.
The good thing is that he was deceived a while ago, too, but then he forgot that as well.
Well, now I remember what it was.
But he will be again.
He remembered. Yeah, it's amazing how I'm amazed at the subtlety and the trickery of my mind when you're talking about... when you're talking about the very subject, my mind wants to say, well, now that I've heard it, I possess it, or I'm not subject to it. And it's like it really is a snake. It's just always, you know, bobbing and weaving and thinking it's going to gain knowledge that will eliminate benefit me or excuse me from the penalty.
And we just got through that. He that hateth his life, and the minute you try to add something to your life or hold on to something, you know, then... Yeah.
And especially this information, it's like, because this is right down at the edge of the cliff.
Right. Remember the waters, the living waters that were used in the cleansing. They were one micron from Gehenna. Well, we're finally getting to where I was going to talk about. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. So, if you believe what the thing is, he's hiding from the Greeks that wanted to come and see him. They came all the way from Alexandria across the Sinai. In verse 37, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. Now this one you've got to get in your head. Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe because that Isaiah said again. Now here, they could not believe. Because Isaiah saith again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart. Not who? The human race. That was the fruit of the curse. He has hardened their heart and blinded their eyes, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. It can't happen. Now, this passage of Isaiah is repeated about 6 or 7 times in the New Testament. Go to Acts 28 real quick.
Isn't this where some of the fundamental thing about church today and religion is now, yeah, that's all true, but now that I've accepted Christ, I'm free from that. I'm not subject to anything.
Well, remember, he said to the Jews that believed on him, you are of your father the devil, and the lusts that you do are all you're capable of doing. He was a liar from the beginning because he abode not in the truth. Listen, what Paul repeats it again, the last words of Acts in verse 25. And when they had agreed not among themselves, they departed. And after that, Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I shall heal them. These things saith Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Back in John. That's, and one more in John, then we'll hopefully go something. It's John 3. Verse 16. You can see it at the end of all of the football fields. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, we have prostituted that verse so often that it has no meaning. It says elsewhere that if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So, but it says God so loved, what's going on? He so loved the world, and John pointed this out. He so loved the world. How is his love manifested, and what is the word for world? The word for world is the word that indicates the bride. It's where we get, it's cosmos. It's where we get the word cosmology, or it refers directly to the bride. God so loved the bride that he gave his son. the word that's used when the if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him, is ion, and it means any the whatever's going on in any age, the spirit of the age. The love of the love of God, he so loved it because it's resident in his Son. And he gave it so that if you have any integrity, that you'll know you're a failure and you will see it. He so loved the world. He thusly loved the world by the crucifixion of his Son. It's not that the love, the center of it is on Christ, not on you. Anyway, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. Not some mental assent. This is the condemnation. That light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were of the evil one, is what it really says. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Can you see this mystery of wisdom and how we totally and completely turn it inside out because we use the wisdom, what we think is wisdom, as another instrument of our own self-realization? And unfortunately, this is about all we hear anymore in the name of Christ. Does anybody have any questions or anybody not understand? What?
Hello. I get it.
It goes back to the point of wherever your life, wherever you come into the picture, and you're back at that point loving your life.
That's why.
That's
why, you know, when Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Whatsoever things that are gained to me are lost to Christ. I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. There's no merit to lose everything. That's easy. But to count them but dung, that's an act of grace. But if you still are trying to rebuild that which you've destroyed, that's what it means when you go to the refrigerator and get another glass of sour milk. You've done it 1,000 times and you've tried this same damn thing you're doing again, but you believe, well, this time it's going to work. Now, Christ said, if you are his disciple, you're going to be hated of all men. And if you believe, you don't have to worry about making. If you believe it, you will speak it. You can't stop. If you don't believe it, you won't speak it. Back to Ecclesiastes, real quick. No, we'll do that tomorrow. We love the twilight. Because in the twilight we can compare. We love lukewarm because we love to avoid conflict. And we're rewarded for it. That's what we're taught our entire lives. Conflict avoidance, how to be nice. And it's a death knell to the spirit.
I was thinking earlier how we create our own Jesus according to our concept of how it should be, and we like him to conform to our image of what it should be, but I was thinking in that context, he's not a very good Christian, because he doesn't meet my standards of Christianity, so to speak, because he does all this, you know, stuff that talking to people really hard and things that I personally wouldn't do. So it just blows my icon.
Yeah, I mean, that's why the whole book about Hosea is about this whole idea that he was told to marry a prostitute so that Israel would see what they're doing.
Yeah.
He was told to lie on his side and eat his barley cakes mixed with his own dung so Jerusalem would see what they were doing. You understand that picture?
Yeah, that's amazing.
You know, but it we are, you know, we are addicted to eating our own dung because we think this time it's going to be, you know, a New York strip sirloin or something.
And we cannot be cured. That's the funny part. We cannot change that. And as soon as you realize that, then the cross is beautiful.
Bring on the steak sauce.
Let's put some sugar on it. Take it, big guy. Why did you think that applied to you?
No, of course not.